Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Last week we caught up with Alvin J. Schmidt. He's the author of this book, How Christianity Changed the World. He's also a professor of sociology, and boy, his historical knowledge is quite amazing. We've been exploring just what the world would be like if Jesus Christ had never come to earth, had never set in motion the movement that now is known as Christianity, had never kind of had that impact in the world. Just what are the everyday things that would not be around if maybe he had never visited this planet? Well, we looked at education last week. This week we're having a look at hospitals and healthcare. And welcome again to Open House, Alvin.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think this conversation is going to be more and more intriguing the more and more we go on. But when it comes to the care for the sick and dying, we, again in the Western world, look around and we look at our hospitals and our institutions and all of the avenues for care that we have set up, particularly over the last few hundred years. And yet when we go right back to the time of Jesus, a lot of those structures weren't there. What actually did happen to the sick and to the dying in the time of Jesus?
You know, actually, as I say in the book, there was a pagan void that existed among the brilliant Greeks and the Romans, who in many ways were similar in terms of imitating them and the like. One of the most amazing things when I did this research on it was the fact that for up until the 4th century, when Christianity became legalized, for 300 years they were persecuted, severely persecuted. And they were the first to bring onto the human scene hospitals. At the Council of Nicaea in 325, a canon was passed that wherever there was a bishop located in a cathedral, they had to have a hospice. And the hospice was something in those days that took care of travelers as well as the sick. Then in the latter part of the 300s, 369 to be specific, St. Basil or St. Basil in the east built the very first hospital. Then soon they were built in the west. For example, associates of St. Jerome, who died in the early 400s, had a rich widow who donated all her money and built a hospital. From that period on, they built hospitals, and by the time you get to the 1400s, for example, you have hospitals in London, which had quite small population at that time. You had over six different hospitals. Again, none of this was really known. The Greeks had no hospitals, brilliant as they were, and there is a little evidence they might have had something that resembled hospitals among in the military, but nothing ever became established and institutionalized until the Christians did it. Mm. And so they filled that pagan void, if you will. And even early in the second century, there was a Christian by the name of Benignus of Dion, and he was a person who was martyred because he nursed and supported and protected a number of deformed and crippled children that had been saved from death after failed abortions and exposures. And saving the physically frail and unwanted children was an affront to the Romans as well as to the Greeks because it violated cultural norms. For example, Seneca, the great philosopher who was also a teacher of Nero, said in the first century, quote, "We drown children who at birth are weakly and abnormal." That's how they lived. In addition to that, they practiced infanticide in addition to abortion and the child abandonment. The Christians changed all this. They took up the foundlings and the like, and they built hospitals and nursed them. They developed hospitals not only just to take care of the sick, but then specialized hospitals for as early as the 300s, 4th century. They built hospitals for the mentally insane.
Oh, I wanted to raise that with you because, again, the mentally insane were considered demon-possessed for a long time, too. And so,
Yes. And unfortunately, sometimes even Christians saw them in that light, but the more informed Christians did not see them in that light. They built hospitals for them, they nursed them. And they built institutions, then later on, for other indigenous people, like we mentioned in the previous interview, for the blind. And then you had, for example, even in 1700s in Germany, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Theodor Fliedner, who, by the way, developed for a sick prisoner. And before long, he had a hospital. And guess who went to his hospital to learn about nursing? None other than Florence Nightingale.
Ah, okay, who became the luminary of nursing.
Exactly right. But it came about as a result of her contact going to this Fliedner's place in Kaiserswerth in Germany.
And before we leave the mental institutions issue, tell me about Philippe Pinel, because he had quite a story, didn't he? He in the end went releasing the mentally disturbed folks from their chains and things?
Exactly. Again, because, you know, these people had compassion. And I'm quoting pagan authors. There was no compassion among the ancient world. When their own relatives got died or in epidemics, they would desert them. The Christians came and picked them up and nursed them. And the pagans would say, these guys are crazy. But you see, they were motivated by the love of Christ. Because as Christ said, for example, to the disciples, whosoever has given someone a cup of cold water, he has given it to me. Or when he said, whatever you do not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. You see, the interesting thing also is the early Christians understood that Christ was a healer of both body and soul. Not just soul, as we've tended to, in many ways, distort Christianity today. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus healed the blind, the sick, the lame, and the like.
Yeah.
And these people simply wanted to follow his example.
His example.
And the early apostles healed a lot of people.
Alvin, also another institution that we just know so well, but we probably don't know the Christian roots behind, is the Red Cross.
Yes. That was founded in the mid-1800s by a fellow by the name of Jean-Henri Dunant, a person who was born and raised in a wealthy Genevan banking family.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of what he saw, for example, in a given battle of wounded soldiers at the Battle of Solferino in Italy's struggle for its independence, struck upon the idea to develop the Red Cross. Again, when you read the history of this man's life, at the end before he died, he said, I am a disciple of Christ as in the first century and nothing more. He was motivated again by what Christ had done. And interestingly, then the idea of the Red Cross, by the latter part of the 1800s, the Muslims in Turkey adopted the humanitarian idea of the Red Cross, except they now took the crescent and painted it red.
Absolutely. So we've got medical institutions, we've got hospitals, we could throw in orphanages there for children, we've got what were called mental institutions at the time, we've got Florence Nightingale and the whole nursing movement, got the Red Cross. Is there anything else that was set in motion by Jesus?
Yeah, well, you see, there were all these specialization hospitals, that, if you want to call them that, were institutions that came about. There was what was called the Xenodochia in the 4th century, basically housed strangers and nursed the sick. Then you had developed, even during the times of the Crusades, the Hospitaller movements, the Hospitallers of St. Lazarus, the Hospitallers of St. John, the Knights Templar. Many of these built hospitals, they nursed the sick, the wounded in the Crusades, and not just the Christians. They also took care of the Muslims, which you usually don't read in the history books, but it is true.
Mm.
Then general hospitals developed later on. As time progressed and society learned more about medicine and the like. And in the 20th century, the hospitals, you know, and it's interesting, I'm not that familiar with Australia, but I do know you have some of it. Most of the hospitals in the United States and Canada to this day still bear Christian names.
Mm.
St. John,
That's
St.
Right.
Joseph, St. Francis, or a denomination, Methodist Hospital, or Lutheran Hospital, Baptist Hospital. And people often don't realize, but that harks back to the very early years of the 4th century when Christians began to build these healthcare institutions.
Well, Alvin, I want to finish with a similar question I asked to you last week, and I know, again, it's very hypothetical, but you do wonder where our health and our hospital system would actually be if Jesus hadn't set foot on the earth. Any idea?
Well, again, it's a speculative question, but I think one can safely say that it would not be where it is to this day. And this is true not just because we talked earlier about education, but also hospitals, or, if you will, other things that we'll be talking about in the future. I can't say to what degree we would have hospitals today. I really don't know. Or even the development of medicine. You see, it was in these universities, for example, the University of Paris, when they began to dissect cadavers to do medical research. Now, this was, by the way, something that the ancients, even some Christians sometimes, had some severe questions about, but nevertheless, that's where it came about. And when you go to the Greeks and the Romans, that was just not done. As I said earlier, they did not combine theory and research, because theory involved manual activity, and that was for the slave. And as a result, the Greeks never developed their brilliant ideas. You know, 4th century B.C., there was Democritus who had a theory of the atom, but it was never, ever tested and developed into anything, and likewise with a lot of other theories. But the Christians did, and that's where the great contribution comes about. And the only thing I must say, often Christianity receives no credit for it, and I often say the modern world lives on Christian capital and doesn't know it.
Well, fascinating to talk to you, Alvin, and we'll continue the conversation this time next week.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to it.
Absolutely. That's Alvin J. Schmidt, author of How Christianity Changed the World. Fascinating, isn't it? Absolutely fascinating. We'll tackle another topic this time next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.